Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Kovacs here for Erev Shabbat Shemot. Mishneh Yomi is in Sanhedrin, chapter 9, the sixth and final Mishnah. Then Bezrat Hashem, we're about to start chapter 10. Hagonev et a kosva. Someone stole the kosva, one of the sacred vessels. Some identify this as being the one used to pour the water libations on the horns of the altar during Sukkot, the famous Nisuch HaMayim. Also, hamekalel bekosim, somebody curses using a kosem, using the name of an idol. So, for example, he's saying his idol is going to overpower or somehow damage, God forbid, the true creator of the world. Vaboel aramit, a Jewish man who is intimate publicly in front of at least 10 Jews, a non-Jewish woman. Kenayin pogim bo, the kenayim, the zealots, the ones who have kina, are allowed to attack and destroy this public sinner. This criminal in these cases is producing a public chilul Hashem, which requires instant public reaction. So the zealots, if people are feeling zealous, like Pinchas did to Zimri during the famous Maase of Baal Peor, when the non-Jewish women were seducing the men and also engaging in the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor. So Pinchas was kana. He was zealous and he attacked the main antagonist, the main criminal in that case, and solved that problem. There's also an amazing Gemara. It's in Sukkah, page 48b, and it's also brought in Yuma, daf 26, in the Gemara. Maase b'tzaduki echa, there was a tzaddiki. And remember, they deny the oral law. They claim, falsely, they claim to believe in the written law, the Torah Shebiksov, but they deny the oral law, the Torah Shebal Peh. So what did he do? He was serving as a priest in the temple. He got up there, Shenisach HaBegarav. Instead of pouring the water libation on the altar horn, as is required, as we learn out in Torah Shebal Peh, he poured the water on his feet. Ergamu kolam betrogehen. And the people there, who, since it's Sukkot, it's Chag HaSukkot, they're holding their lulav and their etrog, they executed this Saduki who was stealing the masveh and doing a public chilul Hashem and denying the Torah Shebal Peh. They stoned him to death with their etrogim. So that's how he met his bitter, or rather sour, end that's allowed by this Mishnah. The Mishnah brings a similar case, Kohen Sheshimesh Betuma. A Kohen who serves, who does avoda in the temple while he's Tamei. And he knows he's Tamei, and he's doing it on purpose, and that's really not allowed. So, Ein Ochi V'Kohanim Mevinu Ton LeBeitin, his brothers, the other Kohanim, they don't have to bring him to court to get Malkut. Ela Pirche Kehuna, rather the younger Kohanim, Motzin Ton Chutz, they grab him, they pull him outside, Lazara, they take him out of the Yazara, to not make the Azara Tame, umafzin et mocho begrizin, and they split open his skull with a wooden beam. Again, it's a public desecration that he does not believe in the laws of Tuma as contained in the Torah. Perhaps that he was a tzaduki, perhaps he was one of the mityavnim who went over to the Greeks during that period, so the punishment needs to be instant. Zor Shishimish B'mikdosh, what about a non-Kohen who pretends to be a Kohen and serves in the temple doing one of the activities that are forbidden for non-Kohanim, allowed only to Kohanim? Rabbi Akiva Omer B'chenek. Rabbi Akiva says that he's taken to court and he gets a chenek for this crime. Chachamim Amrim Bidei Shemayim. The sages say he dies at the hands of heaven. The court can't execute him, but Hashem has many agents and many methods to deal with such people. Now, as a quick aside, in the Gemara, chapter 10 is Elu Henanechanakin. In the Mishnah, that's chapter 11. They actually switch the order around a little bit. But Baruch Hashem, we're learning Mishneh Yomi. So we are starting Perek Chelik. It's very famous. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelik L'Olam Haba. Every Jew, no matter what they do or do not do in their life, has for him or herself a portion in the world to come. Shneamar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, chapter 60, Amech kulam tzadikim, your people are all righteous, le'olom yishu eretz, forever they will inherit the land. Nitzer mata'ai, they are a branch that I planted, masa yadai lehit ba'er, the work of my hand that I take pride in. That Hashem is proud of every single Jewish man, woman, and child, no matter what mitzvah they do or don't do, no matter what Torah they learn or don't learn. We are all the children of our Father in heaven, Avinu Shebashamayim, our Creator, and he's proud of each and every one of us in our own way. Though Lamaisa, there probably isn't a Jew alive in the universe ever who never gave tzedakah, who never helped anybody. Even if a Jew never learns Torah, never went to yeshiva, Jews are the most compassionate, the most caring, and the most giving nation to ever exist. So it's pretty much impossible that a Jew went through life without giving tzedakah, but even if that happened, they still have a portion in the world to come. Now, what is the world to come? That's actually debated. Some say the world to come is when Mashiach comes and we rebuild the temple and it's a physical existence, but it's a wonderful existence. And some say the world to come is actually non-physical, that there will be Yemot Mashiach, that Mashiach will come, we will build a temple, bring offerings, that's a physical existence. And after all of that, we will live on as souls in a non-physical existence, and that's what Olam Haba is. The Rambam talks about this in his introduction to this perek. There's a Perush Mishnayot. The Rambam wrote an explanation to the Mishnayot in the Aramaic Hebrew Gemaras. It's typically printed right after the end of the Gemara. They start printing the Perush Mishnayot from the Rambam. He has a long explanation on this chapter, on Perek Chelek. And in the Rambam's introduction to this chapter, he talks about the 13 principles of faith, the 13 basic things that every Jew should believe in. So the Rambam, on the introduction to this chapter, to Perek Chelek, it's very famous. There are translations of it available online. It's in all the Hebrew Gemaras, and it's highly recommended. The 13 principles of faith from the Rambam are printed in Mini Sidurim right after the morning prayer service. But we're actually not done with the Mishnah. Today's Mishnah says, yes, that's the rule, but there are exceptions. Ve'elu she'ein lahem chelek olam haba. There are some who have no share in the future world. Omer ein tachiyat ha'metim in the Torah. Someone who says there is no resurrection of the dead that's not in the Torah, that person won't get a resurrection. They're, you know, it's mita keneged mita. They're denying there's going to be an afterlife. So, okay, you get no afterlife. Ein Torah min Hashemayim, God forbid, a Jew says, oh, the Torah is not heavenly, the Torah is just some sort of ancient, you know, work of ethics, it's got nothing to do with God. That's obviously, if you don't think the Torah is from God, then you don't think God can give you a reward in the afterlife, so you don't get it. V'apikoros. An apikoros is explained as someone who attacks and discourages Torah learning and doing mitzvot. Really, someone denying the fundamental principles of the Torah and making the Torah look silly in the eyes of others. Epicurus is sometimes identified with the Epicureans, which is a Greek or Roman philosophy that was very hedonistic. They were very into enjoying this world and not caring anything about any sort of afterlife or punishment or reward, which is the opposite, of course, of believing in and receiving a reward in a future life. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva adds, of hakore b'sfarim ha'chitzonim, somebody reading heretical books, including mistranslations of the Torah. Some religions and sects would retranslate the Bible based on their own assumptions, you know, not through the eyes of Chazal and from what Moses taught us at Sinai, but for their own proclivities that would count as sfarim ha'chitzonim, as heretical books. A lokish alamaka, someone who whispers over his wound. The Omer, and he's actually saying a pasuk. He's saying a verse in Shemot in Exodus chapter 15. Kol hamachala, all the wounds asher samti b'Mitzrayim that I, meaning Hashem, have given to Egypt. Lo asim alecha, I won't give to you, to Israel. Ki ani Hashem rofecha, because I am Hashem, your healer. So that sounds pretty good, but the problem is the minhag was to spit on the wound while they're saying a pasuk with the name of Hashem, and spitting with the name of Hashem is very disgusting and discouraging. And then Rambam points out this person is demonstrating that they think Torah is basically like a book of magic spells that they can use a verse to heal their injury. They don't really believe in it as being Torah min Shemayim. They believe in it as like a spell book. Abashol adds, Afa hoge et Hashem be'otiyotav, someone who pronounces the name of Hashem with all of its letters. Meaning the name that's written with a yud and then a hey, he's trying to pronounce that, trying to use that as like an incantation or to do like Kabbalic magic or something. We use Shem Adnut whenever the Torah says that name. Now again, this person is showing he's very irreverent and very disrespectful to the kavod of Hashem, or he's trying to publicize mystical secrets that are involved in the different names of Hashem, and he's not treating it with proper respect. I have heard that if you're actually reading and learning the Torah, you don't have to say Hashem. If you're reading an entire pasuk in the Torah, you can use Shem Adnut, as we normally use, instead of saying Hashem, since you're reading an entire pasuk, you're doing it respectfully to learn. That's an okay thing. Yishar kochachem, Shabbat shalom.